Well, let's just ask the Spirit of the Living God to fall afresh on us this morning, because we are going to be talking about Psalm 51 and David asking the Spirit to restore him, and we can use that as well. Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on me. Father, we do thank you for the fact that you have given the Holy Spirit to your church, to your believing body of Christ, to dwell with us and live within us, and nothing can take that away. So, Father, we just give you praise and glory. And as we look at David's prayer again this morning, Psalm 51, and this just awesome prayer of confession and repentance, restoration, so many requests just in the few verses we're looking at this morning, Lord. And so, Father, we just ask that you would guide us and lead us now in this time of prayer, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, good morning.
Hey, everyone. I'm Mark.
Hi, Mark.
Hi, Mark. Welcome.
I thought I had my Bible, and I don't.
Well, if you turn to Psalm 51, please, and John's and Mark's, and if there's any Luke and Matthew's here, you can turn as well. Last time we looked through the first six verses of this psalm, and today we want to look at verses 7 through 13, and we could spend quite a bit of time here, but we don't have a lot of time, so I wanted to just call your attention to some of the requests that David is making here in just these few verses of 7 through 13. So Psalm 51, 7. Just notice for a moment, David is going to be asking God to purge him, to wash him, to make him hear joy and gladness, to hide God's face, to blot out iniquities, all iniquities, to create a clean heart, to renew a steadfast spirit, not cast away, do not take your spirit from me, restore to me the joy, and uphold me by your generous spirit. So there's at least 10 requests right in those words right there. And there's just a lot of things we can see here in sin and the need for confession, the need for repentance, and the need to recognize the importance and the significance of sin in our lives. And of course, we know this particular sin followed about a nine-month period of David having committed adultery with Bathsheba and then having Uriah killed, and nobody knew about it, and he thought he got by with it, so to speak, but then the sin found him out, and Nathan came to him and said, told him that story, you know, you are the man. And so David then, this is one of his psalms of repentance here, and we looked at it last week about having mercy upon him, according to the multitude of the Father's transgressions, to blot out his transgressions, to wash him thoroughly, to cleanse him from sin. He acknowledged his transgression, and so forth. Well, we continue on that today, and in verse 7, we read, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. We see just a great grasp of the Scriptures by other Scriptures and writers in the Scriptures by the Spirit. And, of course, David's referring back here, I believe, to Leviticus chapter 14, 13, 14, 15, where we have the procedure for the cleansing of leprosy. And one of the procedure aspects of the cleansing of leprosy, after the cleansing was completed, I think this is important here with regard to this psalm, was the use of hyssop to sprinkle the blood. And the procedure, they had two doves, and you would kill one dove, and then you would dip the hyssop in the blood of the dove's blood that was killed, and you would sprinkle it on the other dove, And we have this sprinkling of blood here, which is so significant because as it relates to us, after the one-time sacrifice of our Lord and Savior, we have Christ's blood sprinkled on us, which is the forgiveness of sin. David didn't have that yet because Christ had not yet been crucified, but there was the provision for atonement through blood. And so I think this purge me with hyssop, the purging is really asking for a final cleansing here from the sin, and that the hyssop would indicate that the sin has been healed, it has been cleansed, it has been taken away. And I think that's the picture he's making here. And then he says, and I shall be clean. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Now, the washing and the cleansing was part and parcel of the Old Covenant, wasn't it? You remember the washing with the laver there in the tabernacle, and the washing with the laver in the temple, because the priests would have to continually wash themselves. There was a purification that if you touched a dead body, you'd have to go through these rituals of purification. And so purification and washing was a very important aspect that God is trying to teach his children there of how we should live. We should live clean and pure. But we're in sinful bodies, aren't we? And we sin. And so what happens when we sin? We get big time soiled. We get big time contaminated. But he has given us the ability to confess our sins, and we have in 1 John 1:9, if. And that isn't since there, that's actually if. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And notice that even though David had not been privy to the crucifixion, the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the cleansing power of that blood which turns our scarlet red sin into snow white condition, he is actually even making relating to that, because he says, wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Now Isaiah, about 500 years later, well, not quite that long, about 350 years later, kind of recites this, doesn't he, where he says, wash me and I shall be whiter than snow, and though my sins were as crimson, they shall be as wool, you know. And so we see this cleansing, and that's one of the real miracles. That's going to be one of my questions in heaven. How can you make red into white? How can you use red to turn something into white? But it is, isn't it? Now, verse 8 says, make me hear joy and gladness. He's not only asking for joy and gladness, he's not only presuming here that God is speaking to him, joy and gladness, but he is saying, make me hear. I love that. And how often do we say, speak to me, Lord, speak to me, Lord, speak to me, Lord, and we're jabbering so much and making so much noise we can't hear him, right? So I think it's good to be thinking in terms of make me hear, joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. And I think we can notice here a real parallel between a broken heart and a broken bone. Any of you ever had a broken bone or cracked bone? Very painful, isn't it? Well, a broken heart from sin is painful as well. It was so painful for David's case. And he's saying here, make me hear joy and gladness as the bones you have broken. Interesting, right? David didn't break his bones. But the picture is, through his sin, the Lord has broken his bones. And then it's that he's praying really for healing here, that through this confession and repentance and so forth, that his bones would be healed. What? That you may rejoice. Now, if any of you have had excruciating pain, and that pain goes away, you know what a relief that is, isn't it? Well, that's the same picture David is making here with his sin. So I think we should get a better awareness of the seriousness of sin when we look at scriptures like this, because sin is a big deal. And we can get really callous to it, and we can just say, oh, yeah, everybody sins, and I'm in a sinful body, and it's not that big a deal. It's a big deal. And we see here, make me hear joy and gladness that the bones you have broken may rejoice. And then he goes on to ask, hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. He is asking now a complete separation from the sin. for God to hide his face from it and to blot it out, blot out all my iniquities. No, we even had in verse 1, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. So he repeats this here. Hide your face from my sin and blot out all my iniquities. And then he goes on into verse 10, and this is an awesome statement, an awesome request. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Notice that. First of all, that word create there is bara, the same thing that we have in the creation. That's me making something out of nothing. He recognizes his heart is nothing in a way, I think, and he recognizes his heart cannot be repaired. It can't be just washed a little bit, but he needs a new one. A clean heart, O God. Create in me a clean heart. And now look at this. Renew a steadfast spirit. That renew could also be translated repair, because basically the sin grieves the Holy Spirit, and the sin breaks our relationship with the Spirit. And look at the word steadfast there. He is making mention, it seems to me, that from his standpoint, his spirit is not steadfast. It vacillates. It has lapses of faith. It has maybe outright rebellion at times. And so he is asking to repair or renew a steadfast, unwavering spirit within me. And then he says, don't cast me away from your presence. Don't take your spirit from me. Now we're in a little bit different dispensation there, because the spirit was given and taken away. You remember with King Saul, it was given to him. Then it was taken away. With Samson, the spirit was taken away. Now the spirit is dwelling in us, and so I don't think we have to pray that same way about don't take your spirit away from me, but I think we do want to pray, don't let me grieve the spirit, you know. And then verse 12 shows us two aspects of sin, it seems to me. One is sadness and weakness. Sin makes us sad, sin makes us weak. Because verse 12, he says, restore to me the joy. Restore to me the joy. He wouldn't be asking for restoration of joy if he didn't have sadness as a result of the sin, right? So restore to me the joy, what? Of your salvation. And great faith there, because he hadn't seen the Lord yet at that point, having paid the price, because this is 1,000 years before Christ. And then uphold me or strengthen me by your generous spirit. So we see the weakness there. We see the sadness there. He's asking for restoration to the joy. And he's asking for strengthen me by your generous spirit. Now look at the net result then for you and I when the sin issue has really been taken care of. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. That is a real mouthful there if you start to think that through, because what is salvation? Is it not recognizing our sinfulness? Is it not recognizing our need for repentance? Is it not recognizing that Jesus Christ has paid the price for our sins and is our Savior? Isn't that what conversion is all about? Isn't that what being saved is all about? And see, David here has experienced this. He's experienced being a serious transgressor like all of us, but he's seen God's cleansing power. And so isn't that what you want to tell other people? You want to tell them how much God loves them and what he's done for you, right? I was a dirty, rotten sinner, big time. But God cleansed me. He took it away, and I want to share that with you. And as I share that with you, as how my joy has been restored, how my strength has been restored, what he's done for me, then what is the result of that? Sinners shall be converted to the Lord. Father, we just thank you for this prayer, and we thank you for all of these aspects of it. And there's so much more here we could look into. But Lord, help us to recognize the seriousness of our sin. Help us to recognize your glorious provision of sending your Son and through his one-time sacrifice, paying the price for our sin that we would not have to die. And Lord, we are so blessed. Now, what are we going to do with it? Are we just going to sit and be happy? Yes, we want to sit and be happy, but not to sit and be happy without proclaiming. We should all be preachers. I read one commentator said, everybody who has been forgiven of sin should be a preacher. And that's all of us that know you, Lord. We're all to be proclaimers of the gospel message of what you've done for us. And so, Lord, may many come to know you through the testimonies and through the witness of believers around the world today. And so here we are this morning, Lord, with much to pray for, and we just come with grateful hearts for knowing that you've forgiven our sins, knowing that you will not bring them up again, knowing that you have made us heirs of the kingdom, joint heirs with Jesus Christ forever, and knowing that you, Lord Jesus, as our eternal high priest, are ever living to make intercession for us. So we are so blessed. We are so blessed. So thank you, Lord. Thank you. Lead us now in this time of prayer, and may we be in one accord as we respond to your prompting, Lord. We ask in Jesus' name.